I've never got a sermon like this before. I never had a sermon outline like this before. You'll be happy to know that this sermon outline only has 31 points.
Right.
31 points, amen. But in these 31 points, I'm going to get some people are looking at me like... And I'm going to try to go through these 31 things really super fast. But if you take notes and write them down and write these references down, at the end of the day, you go home and study them and look at these things, you will have a very broad, vast knowledge of what the New Testament church is and what it is not. I want to preach to you tonight or teach or ever how it turns out. I really don't care. That's up to God. I don't mind getting stirred up and running the bases on these things. Amen? And then I don't mind just standing here and talking as fast as I can. Don't mind doing that either. But I want to preach to you on the Christian identity. The Christian identity. Who are we? Amen? Have you? Sometimes I've looked in the mirror and said, who am I? Sometimes, you know, Lester Roloff said if you didn't like your own preaching, you wouldn't worth preaching. Amen? You ought to sit down and shut up. And so sometimes when I'm downloading the sermons onto the internet or something, I'll listen to them and make sure, you know, to cut out all the coughing. And sometimes you'll preach and you'll hear, so I cut those things out so they'd be pleasing to the ear when they're on the radio or on the broadcast. We don't do the radio broadcast anymore, but when we do the internet and stuff like that, and I'll be listening to myself preaching, I'll say, who is that guy anyway? Because some of these things that I'm preaching, it's good stuff, but I don't even know that stuff. I didn't know that. I'm sitting there going, who said that? Where did I steal that from? Because that's pretty good. But anyway, sometimes I ask myself, who am I? Who is that doing? Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
The best thing to do, as far as you're concerned, is not find out. You're liable to go searching and find out who you are and find out you don't like yourself.
Yeah.
Don't worry about who you are, just worry about who Jesus is. Amen?
Amen?
But in this day and age, we do need a message like this because the church in our modern day is suffering from identity crisis. Amen? Some folks think we're a rock and roll concert studio thing, whatever you call those things. Amen. This is not a coliseum, amen. Some folks think that the church house is a playhouse or a theater or something like that. Some folks think that the church is for socialites. Some folks think it's for socialists. And we're none of that. We're not socialites. We're nobodies. Amen. We're not socialists, we're Christians. Amen? We're Christians. We're Christians. And we're not anti-social either. Amen? We ought to be social. We're not entertainers. Amen? I didn't come to entertain you, although I'm such a fool sometimes you may get some entertainment and be able to laugh. And I'm glad, amen, I don't mind being laughed at all. Don't mind that. Been getting laughed at. Got laughed at when I was a kid because I was runny nosed and had holes in my shoes. I'm used to being laughed at. Laugh all you want to, amen. If I could make you laugh and send you home happy, I'd be glad to do it. It'd be all right with me. And we're not entertainers and we're not psychologists either, amen. I do try to say some things to lift your spirits because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. So I try to, you know, I know that people go through hardships. I know that people struggle in life. They struggle in their finances. And I, for the benefit of the rest of the Baptists and know-it-alls on the face of the earth, I don't care if you call me a psychologist. I don't care what you call me. I'm going to try to lighten the hearts of the people and encourage the people that they don't have to be depressed and down all the time. I'm going to do my best to help. Amen? How many of you people enjoy being depressed? Well, because I know you don't enjoy being depressed, I'm going to try to preach that out of you. And if I wake up, somebody told me one time, he said, if you preach on that depression, you're going to get attacked. That's what God called me to do.
Amen.
The Bible said he called a watchman to stand on the wall. Well, when the enemy sneaks up, who are they going to shoot first? The watchman. And so God called us to be on the front lines, amen? So I wake up sometimes depressed as I can be and I think, what's my problem now? It's not you, it's me. So I say, what's my problem? And once I figure out what my problem is, confess it and forsake it and go on, and God lifts my mind, amen? Lifts my spirit, lifts my heart. And sometimes it's flesh, but we don't have time to go into that. But we're not psychologists, I'm a preacher, amen? And the church is for preaching.
Amen.
And along with preaching goes a lot of other things. But I'm going to preach to you tonight, and most people are trying to find themselves or find out who they are. And a lot of times that's just an excuse to wander away from the old path. Well, I don't want to go do it this way. I want to go discover myself. The Bible says a man that going to look to discover himself, he's just a fool anyway. But listen, I know a lot of people use that. I want to find myself. I want to find out who I am. I want to be different. I don't want to be like everybody. That's the excuse people use to go do their own thing and sin their own sins. Amen. But anyway, I praise the Lord. We don't have to wonder about who we are. We don't have to wonder about what the church is, because God has laid it out for us in the New Testament. Amen. The book of Romans through the book of Philemon is the definition of the church. Get in there and find it. The definition of the church is not in Matthew.
Right.
The definition of the church is not in Hebrews. The church is not Hebrews. The definition of the church is not in James. You can find profitable things in John. You can find profitable things in Matthew and Hebrews that will bolster your religion, that will underpin your religion. You can find profitable things in all the Bible, amen? But the definition of the church is in Romans through Philemon, period, exclamation point. Because Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Those are the books that he wrote, and he wrote them for you. Amen? No Hebrew Jewish worshiper has any right to the book of Ephesians. It's for believers. God took of the Jew and He took of the Gentiles and He made of both one new man. And that new man is the church. Amen? And so our definition lies between Romans and Philemon. So I'm going to take some things out of there, and I'm going to use those things. But first, we have our foundation in the gospel. Amen? So, like I told you, in the Gospel of John, boy, I thought this was going to be a fast sermon, but it ain't turning out to be that way. Amen. I hope y'all ain't got your lasagna in the oven, amen, because you might be in trouble. But I don't think so. I'm really going to try to go through these things. I'm not going to try to elaborate on every point. I'm just going to give you the outline, and hopefully you'll study it yourself. Because these things are things that Christians need. But we are rooted in the Gospel, so St. John, or John chapter number 1 and verse number 11, look what it says. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's that circumcision. That's the Jew. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They said, crucify. But look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Let me say, first of all, in revealing to you the Christian identity, the very first thing is that we are God's son. We are God's relation. I'm blood kin to the God that made everything that you can see and everything that you can't see. The Bible says to the church, He says, all things are yours. You know why? Because our Father owns it. Amen? Sometimes I marvel and I laugh when I see a 12-year-old boy or a 13-year-old boy, and he's walking around his daddy's farm, and he says, there's our horses and there's our truck. See that dually sitting over there? That's our truck. And over here's our stables. And over here's our cornfield. And over there's where we grow our grain. And there's our silos over there. And you hear what he's saying? He ain't done nothing. He ain't earned a dollar in his life. And he says, that's ours over there. And over there in that pasture, that's our horses over there. And he said, that's ours. That stuff over there, that fence running across through there, that's ours. And that little stream running down through there, that's ours. That runs on our property. And he said, runs down into a lake over there, and that's ours. You know who it belongs to? It belongs to Daddy. Of course, in this generation, it might belong to his mama. Amen? But that little boy, he's going, that's ours. And you know what? He's exactly right.
That's right.
That little boy's got bragging rights.
That's right.
Jesus, God said to the church, He said, all things are yours. I mean, you go back there and kick that door open, look across the road at them pine trees, that's ours.
Amen.
That's ours. I mean, you go out here to the stop sign and make a right. You go down the road a little ways, you pass the courthouse on the right. That's ours. You don't believe that though. Because you're defeated. Amen? You're defeated. Amen? It's all ours. But see, you ain't got that kind of faith though. If you did, you could move mountains. If you could, you could do everything you want. Say, Brother Mike, People's Baptist Church ain't never had 200 people. I heard you say he's going to have 200 people a while ago.
Amen.
All the people in Folsom, they're ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're ours. You say, I don't believe that. I know. I'm going to try to get you where you do believe it, though.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. The Bible says the just shall live by faith.
That's right.
It's hard to have faith when it ain't nothing yours.
That's right.
I was talking to a fella. I can't even remember who it was. Now I do remember who it was. But I was talking to him about a job. I said, don't go apply for a job. Go get it.
Right. Yeah.
Just go get it.
Right.
Just go get that job. You say, why? Because it's yours. If God wants you to have it, it's yours.
Yeah.
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 That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Preacher, we just ain't got what it takes to do what you've got in mind for this church. Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yes, we do.
Right.
You say, why? Because God is my Father. And listen, that means so much more than just... That means so much... I'm not going to get through 31 points, am I?
Okay.
That means so much more than just, you know, name it and claim it and those trees across the road is ours and the courthouse is ours. It just means so much more than that. But listen, if we had a mind to, we could take some ground if we wanted to. I had the thought today, you know, I've been here in this church for 4 years now, and I've seen God do some great things, and I've kind of laid low, and in 4 years I've accomplished just a few things, but one thing that I've accomplished is that no preachers will now come by and have fellowship with me no more. Amen. The only guy that invites me to preach now is a poor little old charismatic man down in Hilliard, but that's okay. That's okay. But I've tried to lay low, and so far since I've been here, I've been a Calvinist, and I've been everything under the sun. But that stuff don't matter to me. That stuff don't matter to me. But I thought today it's time to stop laying low, and it's time to start calling some folks' hands. You're gonna see things pick up here in just a few weeks. We're going to make a stand, amen?
Amen?
Now, God didn't call me. God called me to preach the gospel, amen?
Right.
And God didn't call me to go start fights, but I didn't start this fight, amen? We're going to pick up in our stance on the King James Bible.
Amen?
Amen? You say, why? Because that's my Father's book.
Right.
My Father wrote this book. My Father preserved this book, amen?
Amen?
And we've got a foundation now. We've got a foundation now. We're going to start gearing towards some Bible doctrine in our preaching, and we're going to start moving that direction. But at the same time, we're going to offend the people in this neighborhood that like the non-inspired version. Amen? And if they preach the New King James and the Holman and all kinds of stuff like that, they're going to be angry with us. Because we're not just going to keep our religion in here. We're going to wear it on our sleeve. Amen. We're going to put it on our billboard. Amen. And I was thinking about today, I mean, just getting the ball rolling, just put it on the sign out there. The Pope couldn't save a dead horse.
That's right.
Amen. How would that be for to welcome our new Pope in, huh? Amen. You think they'd raise some eyebrows as they went by? Amen. It's been a while since we put anything. One lady stopped Ruth and said, ain't your husband the pastor over there at Peoples? Yeah. So, well, I thought y'all moved. Ruth said, no, we ain't moved. Why do you think that? Nobody been putting nothing on the sign. We thought your pastor quit over there. So you people ride by and they read that stuff. Of course, I don't want them to read it and end up in our yard, run over our school kids or nothing like that. But I do want them to read it, amen. I want folks to know where we stand because I stand for my Father.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. I'm on my God's side, amen. Boy, we better move on. Let's move on to number two. Turn to Romans now. Romans chapter number one. And I'm not going to read every reference, but I'm going to read this reference because this is one of my favorite references in the Bible. Did y'all know Romans was one of my favorite chapters? Romans chapter one. Romans is one of my favorite chapters. You'll get that in a minute. Romans chapter one definitely is one of my favorite chapters. But I wish every preacher in our generation would get a hold of these first 11 verses because there's a lot of good stuff, especially verse 11. Verse 11 says, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. A lot of preachers like to be seen, but I'm looking for some preachers who want to see the people and impart to them something. Establish some people, amen? But look up in verse number 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. Holiness is very strongly acquainted and related with the resurrection. Without holiness, Jesus couldn't have got up.
Right.
Verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father. You notice when he's writing to Rome, he's writing to the people, not the Pope. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They say Simon Peter was the first pope. That's what they say. Now that's a lie. That's not true. But it sure is funny when Paul wrote to Rome, he didn't mention Simon Peter not one time. He didn't say, hey Peter, how you doing or nothing. He just ignored the pope. You say, why? Because he weren't there. That's why. Verse number 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Now, we're going to get on a roll here now. We're going to go through these. If you want to take them down and write them down as quickly as you can, then you can go back and study these things. This is the identity of the church. First of all, we're sons of God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. Now we're talking about the identity of the church. Number one, we are apostolic. Amen? I didn't say we were apostles. I said we were apostolic. The word apostle means that you were sent. Amen? Talking about the 12 apostles, you're talking about the apostles of the Lamb. You're talking about a different set of people. The Bible in the book of Acts could rightly call Barnabas an apostle, though nobody else calls Barnabas an apostle. The Word of God calls him an apostle because he was one sent. Can I say something to you tonight? You're sent. So, well, Brother Mike, my job is just to come here to the church and sit here and listen to you spit and scream. No, you're sent. You say, why? Because you're part of the church, amen? You're the sent ones, amen? You're the sent ones. Romans chapter number 1, verse 5, it says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience. We are the obedient ones. You say, Brother Mike, I'm not obedient. You're not in the church, then I don't guess. God must not have converted you yet. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, it says you were along with the children of disobedience.
That's right.
So if you've been converted, you're now obedient.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be disobedient. Well, have fun with that, you and the devil.
Yeah.
Amen? He must be your father. We talked about that a little bit last night. Obedient. And he says obedient to the faith. Amen? Not obedient to the Pope.
Yeah.
When God saves you, you'll be obedient to the doctrines of the Bible. You say, what is the faith? The faith is the doctrines and the teachings of the Bible. Jude verse number 2, it says that you earnestly, Jude verse number 3, it says that you earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. That's the teachings and the truths and the principles and the doctrines of the Word of God. Amen? Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 6, it says, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. If you want to identify the church, we're the called. So, well, Brother Mike, you've got a calling and you've got to be holy and you've got to be right. No, sir, we are all the called. You see, he talks about himself and then he said, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. You're the called. You're the purposeful. When somebody looks at you, they ought to say, man, that's a man of purpose. You say, why? Because you belong to a church of purpose. You ought to be readily identified by being busy. We are the church. We're the sons of God. We are the apostolic. We are the obedient. We are the called. We are the purposeful. We are the busy. Not the busybodies, but the busy. Is this little outline I've conjured up, is this beginning to make sense to you? This is identification. This is how we tell who we are. Amen? Right. Romans chapter number 1, verse 11. Look what it says again. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. We are the established. We're the established. We're not the unstable. We're not the up 1 week and down 1 week and around 1 week and over here. No, sir, we're the established. You can take that word established and you can run it a bunch of different places. How about maturity?
Yeah.
We're not babies. The church wasn't born last year.
Right.
We've come a long ways to where we should be a long ways past deciding if we're Pentecostal or if we're Baptist or if we believe in baptizing babies. We're a long ways past that. You say, why? Because we're the established. Verse number 13, he says, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also. Hey, the church is the fruitful. He said, even as among other Gentiles. Hey, the gifted. Paul said, I want to give you some gifts so that you'll be established. Once you get established, you'll have some fruit. Amen. When I was a boy going to school in the high school, we had some classes I never got to. They had one of them top secret tapes across the door, and they wouldn't even let me come in there and look. Amen? They called it tag. Talented and gifted. And they wouldn't let me play. But as far as God's concerned, I'm gifted. I won't say nothing about talented. I'll leave that part out. Amen?
Amen.
But gifted, I'm gifted.
Yeah.
You know how little opportunity you have to say. I mean, if you say that in any other context, you're a braggart and a fool. We need to talk very little about ourselves in the Christian religion. But in this case, God has given me great gifts.
Yeah.
Amen. Just start with eternal life.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Amen. That's a great gift. And then we have several other gifts of which if I preached about all those this sermon would get longer and longer and longer and longer. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Hey, in identifying the church, we're believers.
Amen.
If you're a non-believer, you're not part of the church. Well, you always spot them too, a skeptic. I don't know if that Bible is... I think it was inspired in the originals, but I'm not sure it's preserved. That's a non-believer.
Right.
You know, Jesus was a good teacher, but I'm really not clear on whether or not He was a deity. That's an unbeliever.
Amen.
Amen. That's an unbeliever. You say, well, Brother Mike, how do I get in the church? You'd be a believer. I'm a believer. I believe God before I understand God.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
I never will fully understand God.
That's right. Amen.
But the day that I got saved and went back to my seat the next week, we come back and we got put in our Sunday school classes and all that stuff that goes along with that. And boy, I was sitting there, and when that lady began to talk about Jonah and the whale and Joshua marched seven times around and Moses marched across the Red Sea dry, you know what? I believe every single bit of that stuff.
Amen.
I said that.
That's right. Amen.
You mean he just put out his rod and the water went? Psh. I said, I'd like to see that myself.
Amen. That's right.
I believe. I believe everything the Bible says.
Amen.
Right. God is going to come back one day on white horses with all of His saints. It may be funny, but I believe it.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
people laugh at us because we say, oh, the Bible, God, the Bible says it, and God says it, and I believe it, and it's true. They laugh at us for that. Well, whether you believe it or not, the Bible says it, and it's true.
That's right.
Amen. It doesn't make one bit of difference whether you believe it or not. I believe it. And if I didn't believe it, it'd still be true.
That's right.
I'd have to offend my own conscience to get away from this great truth. Boy, I'd like to talk about that some more, but I know you don't want to sit here all night. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 17, look what that says. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For it, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We're not only the established, we're not only the believers, we are the just. Now if you turn over to, you don't have to do it, but if you turn over to Romans 5:1, you'll read about the justified. Now we are the just because we've been justified. But that word just is means something. Amen. God don't just use words for no reason. That word just means exactly this. It means the righteous. The righteous. Spike Albretta, I always want to call him Albretta, like the pistol, Beretta. Albretta, the just, the righteous man.
Yeah.
The righteous man. Curtis Stivender, Clint Stivender, the righteous. He said, oh, I don't believe that. Well, God said he was.
Amen.
Well, I just happen to know I seen him one time doing this or that. God said he was just. You know what the Bible says about Lot? He said that just man vexed his soul. He lived around wicked people, and that those wicked people affected him. But because he was under the covenant of Abraham, God looked at him and said, he's just. Lot is just. Sometimes God. Sometimes it matters who you hang around. And if you're one of God's sons, God said you was just. You, if you're honest with yourself, you're a dirty dog. But God said you was just. Just. Holy. Saint Curtis. Amen. I'm going to write the Pope. About. I'm going to write him and say, hey, you ought to know about this fella in St. George. Amen. He's a poacher. Amen. He's a poacher. He'll take them live or already run over. Amen. He'll take them with a fishing license or without a fishing license. Amen. You want to know what God says about this old boy? He's just. He just. Ain't nothing you can do about it. But I know. Don't matter what you know. He's just. That's a blessing to me. That gets me all excited. That makes me excited inside. That's for you Southern Baptist folks, amen. If there's any hiding anywhere. Now there's a difference between the justified, and we could get to that. But the Bible talks about just men made perfect. Amen. Look in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 24. This all goes together here a little bit. And I hope you're finding something you can at least learn from later. But Romans chapter 3 verse number 24 says, being justified freely by His grace. We're not only the believers, we're not only the just, but we are the redeemed. We're the redeemed. You don't have to look at these references right now, but these go along with it. Romans chapter number 5 verse 10 says, we're the reconciled. Romans chapter 7 verse 6 says, we're the delivered. These are all good words. These are biblical doctrinal words that as a Christian, you need to know them. You need to study them. You need to know how it applies to you. You've been redeemed from the curse of this dark world. God bought you back.
Amen.
Adam sold you lock, stock, and barrel to the executioner. And God went down to where you was and paid the price for you to escape death.
Yeah.
Nothing that you could do could earn you that.
Amen.
That life. And God, when God bought you back and put His stamp of Son on you, you're redeemed. And justified and delivered and reconciled. Friends with God again, your Father. You're just like the prodigal son. God fell on your neck and wept and said, my boy. My boy. He wasn't like David that had to cry over his son and said, Absalom! Oh, Absalom! My son! And cried because he was lost. No, sir. God fell on your shoulder and said, my boy.
Yeah.
Reconciled. Reconciled. Amen? Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 22. Romans chapter number... You're getting a college education. You just don't know it. Romans chapter 6, verse number 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Listen, you're the just, you're the redeemed, you're the delivered, you're the reconciled, you're the free.
Amen.
You know what the country says? It says you're the home of the free. The land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, I don't know about brave sometimes. A gospel tract tell me about the brave part.
Yeah.
Amen? But whether you're the brave or not, you're the free.
Yeah.
The Bible didn't say God would set you free. He said He'd make you free.
Yeah.
He made you free. He made me free. I'm the free. Instead of just calling me part of the church, you can call me part of the free. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, that's wonderful to me. Looking back up to verse number 13 in Romans chapter 6, he says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Listen, we're not only free, we're the yielded. Pretty strong right there, ain't it? The yielded. You know what yield means? Yield means you can go first. You're driving your car down the road, you come up to a sign, and geometry's math, right? So forgive me about when I say, if I call a stop sign, don't get ahead on me, brother. Let me ride this horse for a minute. You come down to the octagon sign. I guess that's an octagon. It's a red sign that says stop. You pull up and you say stop. That means stop. Amen. I mean, don't go. It means stop. Pull up and stop. Amen? If somebody else pulled up to another side of that and stopped first, they get to go first. Amen? Now you pull up to that other sign and it says right on the front of it, yield. That means you pull up and if nobody else is there, you go ahead. And you don't even have to stop. You have to yield. All right. Now, that means you first. Look what it says now. He says, "But yield yourselves unto God." We can, every head is bowed, every eye closed. You wake up in the morning and you're about to get out of bed and you say, "No, wait. You first, God." We're talking about a Christian life now. You throw your leg out, throw your other leg out and raise up. "You first, God." And He said, "Meet me right down here." So you get down on your knees and the first thing you say is, "You first, God." You first, God. Then you get up and you get in there in front of your mirror and you're about to make yourself look as pretty as you can. But whoop! You first, God. And God says, "Choose modesty." So you spend 30 minutes instead of an hour and 30 minutes.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Amen. It'll take about 30 minutes to knock the dents out. Amen? I'll go that far with you. Amen? We say, "You first, God. You first." You get out and you go in there. You sit down at the dinner table and you say, it's a breakfast table at this point. You sit down and you say, "You first, God." And He says, 10 eggs instead of 20. I believe you can eat anything you want if you give thanks for it. Greasy bacon, sausage biscuit. Now, if your doctor tells you to quit, you better listen to him, amen?
Yeah.
But God, this is what God said. He said, "All things are to be received with thanksgiving."
Right. Amen?
Amen? Now you understand. I'm not telling you got diabetes. I'm not telling you to go dive into a chocolate cake, amen? I mean, you've got some issues that are already there that you need to be mindful of.
Right.
But we're all smart enough to figure that out, right? Okay. You sit down at the breakfast table, you say, "You first, God." And He said, "Okay, do this." You know what? I mean, He might say to you right there, "Skip this meal and pray for brother so-and-so." You say, "What are you talking about, Brother Mike?" I'm talking about being yielded to God. You get your breakfast eat and you got your hair combed, you're about to head out the door, and you get right to the doorknob and you stop and say, "You first, God." And God says, "Reach over there on the counter there and get some of them tracks and take them with you." When I find myself unarmed to serve God in the Christian life, it's because I hadn't stopped and yielded to God and let Him go first and lead the way. I mess it up every time. I'm a preacher, but I'm not armed with the character and the fortitude to live my own life. I must be yielded to God. Paul the Apostle, as far as I'm concerned, I better not put labels, but I was going to say the greatest apostle in the Bible. I'm not going to say that because that's I guess a relative thing the way you see it. But he was a great man of God. But he said, "I've got to die daily." You know what he was saying? "I've got to be yielded to God. I've got to be yielded to God."
Right.
And then when you get in your car and you're heading down the road, you better be looking for that yielded sign. Amen. You'll be in the hospital. Amen. I'm talking about there's yield on the highway and then there's yield in your spiritual life. Amen. Now you study that a little bit and go wherever you want to go with it. I've only been preaching 37 minutes. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Boy, we're getting through it. This is number 11. We almost done. Brother Spike's back here. I know what he's doing. He's saying, we're going to get him. He's going to be a long time. And this 31 points, this is going to be 7 or 8 hours. But it ain't going to be, I promise you. Ephesians chapter number 1. You don't make no promises when you're preaching, amen? You preach about the promises, but you don't make no promises while you preach. You're liable to tell lies, amen? Ephesians chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We're not only free, we're not only the yielded, but we're the blessed.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Raise your hand tonight if you're the blessed. I'm going to be a charismatic preacher for a minute. Raise your hand if you're the blessed. Amen.
Yeah, sure.
Look at your neighbor and say, I'm blessed. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. I took that a little bit too far. Amen. The blessed. Amen. I'm a blessed man.
Right.
I'm alive and I shouldn't be alive. I've got a wife and I shouldn't have no wife. I've got children and I shouldn't have children. Amen. Not worthy to raise children. I look at how bad I messed up my own life and now I think I've got to direct somebody else in their life. I pity my children sometimes because they've got me for a daddy. I say that in all seriousness. There's not a smile on my face or any jesting about that. My children, I wish they had a better daddy. I really do. Now, I accept the responsibility. I'm not going to duck out of that. But boy, I'm blessed to have children. I'm blessed to be saved. I'm blessed to be standing in the house of God preaching God's Word behind God's desk. I'm blessed in that. I'm blessed. I don't have $1 million. I don't have a whole lot of things. But I'm blessed. I get to serve God. Amen. I'm blessed to be at People's Baptist Church. Some people have told me from the time I've been here, oh, that place is going to wreck you. Oh, that place is a graveyard. No, I just don't believe it.
Amen.
I believe any place God wants you is a great place. I'm blessed to be here. Amen?
Amen.
Blessed to be here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I'm part of the chosen. I'm chosen. Do you believe in... This is the way this works. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day? Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
That you're the chosen. Before the world, before the foundation of the world was set, God said, man is going to fail. I'm going to die on the cross and redeem man. And everyone that believes that will be saved. They'll be my sons. We're chosen.
Yeah.
God loves you. You're chosen. Then not only that, but the same verse, it says that we should be holy. I'm part of the holy. That goes back to the just thing, don't it? The blameless. That we should be holy and without blame. He said, Brother Mike, you're a bad person. Not according to God.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Brother Mike, I heard you say this and I heard you do that. I seen you do. Nobody seen me do it. You can't prove a thing, amen? God said I was blameless. Christ made me blameless when He died on the cross for me.
Right.
You know, one of the things that happened, I mean, really, if you're to be blamed, if you commit a sin, it ought to be preached on, it ought to be moved against, we ought to stand up for principle. But do you know after you confess your sins to God, and after the blood washes that sin free and clean, and makes you holy and pure, and sanctifies you again and sets you apart, you know you ought to forget about that sin. Don't forget about the temptation. Don't forget about the danger of falling into it again. But you ought to forget the things you've been forgiven of and just leave those things in the past. Amen? Because God said He forgot it. God said He buried it in the sea. Some of the hardest things that I've had to deal with in my life is the things that I've done when I was far away from God and I committed terrible sins. And boy, they wake me up in the middle of the night sometimes and say, you've done this, you've done this, you've done it. And I have to remember, I'm blameless. The church is the only place on the top side of this earth that you can find blameless men. blameless men. That's why somebody can come into the church, and I know that they've got some kind of hitch in their character, or some kind of abnormality in their doctrine, or some kind of. And I don't reject them right away, because I know in God's eyes, if they're saved, if there's a testimony there of salvation, they're blameless, and God requires it of me to be faithful to them. Whatever the problem, I've been stark raving mad at somebody, and God said, "You better adjust your attitude, son. That is my boy." Jesus shed His blood on the cross for the people that we don't appreciate. Amen? And we're so quick to dismiss them. But God will never dismiss them. Amen? You say, why? Because they're blameless. Ephesians chapter 1, we're the predestinated. That word talks about your destination. When you got saved, it was predetermined that your destination is heaven. Oh, we're all working to get to the same place. I heard that old charismatic preacher say that about 4 times before the service got started real good. Hey, we're not working to get anywhere. Jesus Christ did the work. Amen? And now because He did the work, I'm predestinated to get there. Predestination has nothing to do with Calvinism. It has to do with Christianity. Folks was predestinated before John Calvin ever came along. Predestinated. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 6 says that we are the accepted. Amen. Brother Mike, how do you deal with so many people with different personality and different... Because we're accepted.
That's right.
That just goes back to what I was saying before. We are accepted. Listen, I don't like Brother Mike. He don't preach right. He preaches too hard. I'm accepted. You have to accept me. You have to love me. You have to understand me. You have to pray for me. You have to fast for me. And the thing works both ways. I have to do the same for you.
Right.
How many of you folks got in-laws?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Do you like them all? Be honest. Do you like them all? Do you love them all? Sure you do. Because they're your family. Amen. Some of them needs a black eye, but some of them needs to be whopped on their hand with a screwdriver for breaking your favorite recliner. Amen. Amen. When will you learn that like has nothing to do with Christianity? Like has nothing to do with Christianity. It's not a religion of like. It's a religion of love. And love is not an emotion. Love is an action that causes an emotion. You get a hold of that. The Ephesians 1, 6, we're the accepted. Ephesians 1, verse 7, let me go ahead and read that. In whom we have redemption through His blood.
Amen.
I hate to quote Preacher Lackey, but you're making me mad now. When somebody says... When somebody reads, in whom we have redemption through His blood, you're supposed to say, amen. 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 Just like when somebody says Robert E. Lee.
Amen.
Amen. You're supposed to say amen. Amen. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hey, in Ephesians 1, 7, point 15, for those of you keeping track, we are the forgiven. We are the forgiven. Hollywood makes movies about the unforgiven. I hate to be in that crowd. And there will be. I talked about a message about the devil that I got formulating and sitting on the back burner right now. Talking about people who will be got by the devil. Yeah, you want me to tell who the devil gets? The devil gets the unforgiven. I'm glad I'm free. I've already spent a lot of time on being blameless. And it goes along with that same line. But hey, forgiven for all the sins I've done. Not only the ones I've done, but the ones I thought about doing. Not only the ones I thought about doing, but Brother Sam's the one I would have done if I wouldn't have got caught. I wanted to do those sins. I desired to do those things. No, if I could have done it without getting caught, I would have done it. Just like I committed it, got down and confessed those things, and God forgive me for those too. God don't owe me nothing, but He sure has given me faithfulness.
Amen.
He's been faithful. He's been faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14. He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. We're the purchased. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 18. We're the enlightened.
Yep, right.
We're the enlightened. You know, there's a bunch of people over in China, and they got one fella sitting here. I don't know if they got their tongue stuck out like that. But they may as well have. They already look goofy enough. I guess they won't go home. And there's a guy sitting 40 miles away over here. And he's over here going, oh. And they're trying to communicate with one another. And they just go down to Verizon and buy a cell phone. And get like but you know what them fellas are trying to do? They're trying to get enlightened.
Yep.
If they sit there and hold their breath and they sit there and chant and they sit there and focus on a doorknob, they sit there and do all that stuff for long enough, they think they're going to get enlightened. My old preacher used to say, preacher like he used to say, if they hold their breath up long enough, they will meet God sure enough. But then they get cast into hell, amen? Hold your breath long enough, you'll die.
Yeah.
But they're trying to get enlightenment. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, we are the enlightened ones.
Yeah.
The enlightened ones. Don't that make you feel a little bit more dignified?
Yeah.
They've been laughing at you down at work because you carry tracts and carry your Bible. They've been laughing at you because you use your break to pray instead of go in there and gossip and tell dirty jokes. They've been laughing at you, and the whole time you're the enlightened one and they're the goofball nuts. You ought to put on a shirt and tie to go to work tomorrow. I don't care if you work in a diesel mechanic shop and just walk in. And then go in the back room and change. Don't get your suit dirty, but just walk in. What's wrong with you, man? I've been enlightened. What do you mean? Let me tell you. Then break out your Bible. John 3:16, Romans chapter 3. Preach them the gospel.
Yeah.
Make you feel dignified, don't it?
Yeah.
Enlightened.
Right.
Brother Nathan, enlightened, the enlightened one. But that's not blasphemy. That's true.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
Yeah.
Enlightened. It ain't some yogi over there doing whatever, amen?
Yeah.
I always thought yogi was that bear in Yellowstone or whatever. Amen? Ephesians 1 verse 22. I don't want to spend too much time. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22, put plain and simple, we're the church.
Yeah.
In 1 verse 23, we're the body. The church and the body. And by the way, in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, we're the assemblers.
Yep.
We're not the well-wishers.
Yep.
We're not the I'll be praying for yous.
Right.
We're the assemblers.
Right.
Amen. If you're in the church, you're an assembler. You come to church. I understand if you got to go to work, but I wish you'd just tell your workplace, hey, I got to go to the house of God.
Yep.
Amen. If you can't do that, the next time you go get a job, say, hey, I go to church.
Right.
Go to church. I go to church. I do appreciate we've got some young people that started getting jobs now. Boy, I kind of like that and I kind of don't. But they're getting jobs now and I'm blessed because they're telling their boss, hey, I got to go to church on Wednesday and on Sunday. And the first thing them wicked infidels will do, couldn't you give me just a few Wednesdays? That's the devil right there.
Right.
Amen? That is the devil. Hey, young folks, when they say, can't you give me just one Wednesday? Say, no, I'm too enlightened for that.
Right.
You say, they say, why not? I'm an assembler. I'm not a dissembler, I'm an assembler. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We are the quickened.
Yeah.
Amen? We're alive. That don't mean you can run fast. Sometimes I do wish it meant that. Claim a verse out of context. God, you said we'd be quickened. Help me run around here and preach for a little bit. Brother Sam said something the other day that reminded me of me quite a few times. He said he was preaching, he saw it on the video, and he was standing up there going, and I thought just immediately when he said that, I could remember standing right here after running around acting like a fool going, and the Bible says, and pretending I couldn't think about it so I could just catch my breath. What was that verse I was going to? This is not out of shape, people. This is my zeal. I'm raring to go. And really, I'm about to die of a heart attack. And I'm saying, God, quicken me. Amen. And if I fall out with a heart attack, I really will need to be quickened. Yeah. Quickened means to be made alive. It means to be made alive.
Amen. Right.
Baptist folk.
Yeah.
It means to be made alive.
Glory.
It means to be full of life.
Glory.
It means to have the energy of God in your soul. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
The resurrection power of God. Not the killing power of God. The resurrection power of God in your heart and in your soul. Make you happy once in a while. Maybe not 24 hours a day, but once in a while you get excited about something. You're alive now. We've already covered that, so let's go on. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I've read you verse 1, but let me throw in verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Hey, in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 and 2, he said, we're the converted. We was following the prince of the power there. Now we're something else. See what? Look at that first phrase in chapter 2. Wherein in time past.
Yep,
right.
In time past you walked that way. So don't preach to me about, or don't talk to me about preaching about legalism. When you get saved, there's a change coming.
Oh, yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We're the converted. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 23 says we're the renewed. Amen? God has renewed you.
Amen.
Amen. God's done a new thing in your life. He's made you a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. You ought to say amen here. I'll go ahead and forewarn you. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. The church, we're the loved.
Amen.
I like the little Jack Chick. How many of y'all know about Jack Chick? If you don't know about Jack Chick, I mean, you ought to be at least a little bit familiar with it. He writes gospel tracts, and they're a little cartoon form, but he's got one of them, and it says, the title of that one is Somebody Loves You.
Yeah.
Amen. Sweet little story, a heart-rending story, might even make you shed a tear if you got any left.
Yeah.
Amen. But somebody loves you. Amen.
Yeah.
I bet there's people sitting in this building tonight already claim to be saved, and you think everybody's against you, nobody understands you, everybody always gets me wrong, and nobody loves me. But somebody loves you.
Amen.
And if not a person in your family does, God does.
Amen.
God's people should, amen. If they don't, they ain't right with God.
Right.
People who are saved, whose character that I don't like, whose principles that I don't like, I still love them because God put that in my heart, in my soul.
Yeah.
Amen. You've heard me stand in this pulpit and talk in a derogatory manner towards preachers that I don't believe are preaching right and preaching straight. But I promise you, I pray for those men. Why? Because I love them. When they get to heaven, I want to see them get as many or more rewards as I get. I take no pleasure in seeing anybody that I disagree with get to heaven and receive punishment. Get them, God! Get them! They're not right! I don't do that. I want to see them get a blessing. I want to see God get a hold of their heart. I want to see them go to heaven and get great rewards. The fact that I disagree with them doctrinally or emotionally or any other way means absolutely nothing. I love them.
Yeah.
And the only way you can explain that, the only way that you can explain that is that God has moved into my soul and made that possible.
Amen.
Because the natural man hates those that disagree with them.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Ain't that wonderful?
Yeah.
We're the love.
True.
Ephesians chapter 2 verse number 4 says we're the love. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says we're the raised.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Love, Nathan does it, and I don't usually participate because that's kind of silly. Amen. You was thinking that too, but you didn't say nothing. But I'll stand back there and I'll watch y'all go. Love lifted me. And it's good. Keep doing it. Amen. Keep doing that. But it's true. Love lifted me. He raised us up. See what it says there in verse number 6. And hath raised us up together. Now look at what this said. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're never going to understand this. You're never going to understand this. But you're already in heaven.
That's right. Amen.
Somebody said to me, Brother Mike, you can lose your salvation. I said, hogwash. I'm already in heaven.
That's right.
Amen.
And whether you understand it or not, it's true.
Yeah.
That verse is just as true as John 3:16.
Right.
Brother Curtis, I'm standing here looking at you in the face, and at the same time, I am in heaven.
Yep.
Right. He said, Brother Mike, I can't figure that out. Well, can you figure out dying on the cross, making the whole world free from sin?
Yeah.
Right. Can you figure that out? Can you figure out why God would stand out in the infinite nothing before He created anything and say, I'm going to make this man and he's going to mess up and go ahead and make him anyway? Can you understand that? No, you can't. Can you understand a God that knows that about 20 trillion of His own creation is going to go freely into hell and go ahead and make them and let them go? Can you understand that? See, there's a lot of things you can't understand, but that don't change nothing. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says, I'm in heaven. Already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm in heaven.
Amen.
I'm the raised. Amen. I'm part of the raised. And just to put it plainly, in verse number 8, for by grace are you saved, I'm part of the saved.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We're the saved. That's our name. That's our identity. Y'all hadn't forgot where we was at, did you? We're talking about our identity. Verse number 2, you'll like this one even better. Chapter 2, verse 10, he says, for we are His workmanship.
Yeah.
We're talking about working to get to heaven. No, sir, you're being worked on to get to heaven.
Yeah.
We're His workmanship. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15, it says, we are the workmen.
Right.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, we're the men of God.
Amen.
You ladies, you know what you are? You're the women of God.
Yep. Amen.
And when you die and get to heaven, you're still going to be the women of God. Amen?
Amen.
I love Dr. Ruckman to death, but he's wrong right there.
Yeah.
Amen? If my wife, if I get to heaven and my wife is a man, I'll be angry.
Amen.
I'm going to go talk to Jesus and I'm going to say, Jesus, I don't like that. Amen? You change her back this instant. I'm not going to, listen, I'm not going to heaven and spend an eternity with the man I done kissed and had four babies with. There is no way that you can justify that. Amen?
Amen, preacher. Hallelujah.
Well, it says we're all going to be like Christ. Yeah, we're going to be holy like Him. We're going to be sinless like Him. Amen?
Amen.
It's common sense.
Amen.
If God don't want you to have a sex change here on earth, He's not going to give you one in heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I hope that wasn't too plain. I really don't know. I'm not going to get any more graphic than that. But that's true right there.
Amen.
That's true. That's true. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. I'm almost done. We on 24 now. We're heading towards home.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Hey, we're the unified.
Yeah.
The church is, I had a talk with the men before service. I said, I want to be unified. I want to be together. I want to be together on this. Either we do together or we do not, but we're going to do it together. Amen.
Yeah.
We're the unified. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15. Oh, I like this one. Chapter 4 verse 15. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Hey, we're the grown up. The church is the grown up.
Yep.
Have you ever seen any church members that was babies?
Yeah.
Sir, yes.
I don't like that.
That's right.
Well, I think it ought to be done this way over here. You say why are you making crazy voices like that? Because that's the way babies talk. We've had a little baby in our house this weekend. Boy, that reminded me, I'm in for it in just a few months.
Amen.
I done forgot about that. Our youngest child is 7 years old. I done forgot all about crying in the night. Boy, I used to get up in the middle of the night.
Oh, my God.
No, I've got to be honest. I've got to be honest with you. I've never got up in the middle of the night and took care of a crying baby. I never heard it. I just never heard it. But God, and it's Brother Curtis and Brother Pedro's fault, has moved me in next door to CSX's 70 trains a day.
Glory!
And now I cannot go to sleep at night. Just in time for the new baby. The interpretation of that is, it's time to grow up. Amen? And the only thing I'll be mad at is if I have to get up in the middle of the night and change diapers too, because I also have to confess that I don't change diapers. Amen? I'm working on three babies going on four, and so far that's a woman's job. Amen? I've washed some dishes and mopped some floors and... Amen, I'll do that, amen. I tried to change a diaper one time, but I couldn't do it. In the Marines, they told us to disassemble an M16A2 service rifle, put it on a little mat that had a description of the pieces, and then blindfold yourself and put it back together in under 30 seconds. But you cannot, for the life of you, change a diaper like this. You can't do that. You can't do that. And I'll just be honest with you, that stuff tears me up, amen? But it may be time to grow up, amen?
Amen.
I hope not.
Praise God.
I hope not. God, please don't make me go that far. I'll get up, amen, and give the baby a bottle in the middle of the night. But in all seriousness, listen, the Christian life's a grown-up life. I don't care if you're 10 years old. When you get saved, it's time to grow up. Amen. It's time to be a man. It's time to roll in your sleeves. You've been carrying your feelings on all these years and just man up and say, hey, it's time to get serious. It's time to take a few on the chin. Amen. The saying in the Marines and the infantry squad, when you got ready to move out, listen, you could sleep all night and sleep well. You could eat MREs anytime you wanted to. Once you got on your time, you was on your time. Hey, but in the morning, when you got up and rolled up your shelter half, amen, you carry one half, somebody carries the other. When you get all your gear up and you get that pack on your back, the saying was, guns up. It's time to quit lounging. It's time to quit fooling around. It's time to quit eating. It's time to go out and get the job done. Amen. And nobody hires a baby to do nothing. And God's included in that.
Yeah.
In the Christian life, one of the first things you're going to have to do is grow up. Amen? Everything's not going to go your way. Life is not fair. That's a lesson that only grown-ups know.
Amen.
Babies don't know that. Babies still think it's supposed to be fair. It's not fair. I shouldn't have to put up with that. I'm better than this. My mama didn't raise me to put up with this. Does anybody hear your own voice in that? Amen. I don't mean to make light, but it's time. There's a time to be a baby. But the Bible says, He said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Said, I used to think like a baby. I used to act like a baby. But when I became a man, put away childish things. And just so He didn't say baby, He said child. He said, I thought as a child. With the unified, with the grown up. Ephesians 5:8 says we're the children of light. Ephesians 5 verse 14 said we're the awake. We're supposed to be awake. Ephesians 5:17 goes back to those enlightened folks. It says we have an understanding. We're the understanding. Ephesians 5:21, I wish I had 20 more minutes to preach on this, but it says we're the submitted. The submitted. That's like that yielded thing we was talking about a while ago. The submitted. Are you submitted to anything? I wonder if you could take out a piece of paper and write right now five things that you're submitted to. That's a good awakener. I mean, it's hard to find five things you're submitted to.
Yeah.
Submitted. Paul cried out to God three times to heal him of whatever thorn in the flesh that he had. And God said no. You know what Paul had to do? He had to submit himself to that.
Right.
He had to decide to go on. That cricket, I don't know where he's at, but he's going to, if I could find him, he'd submit. Amen. Ephesians 5:29. It says, listen, I like this one. How many of y'all like to eat? Ephesians 5:29 says we're the nourished and the cherished. Amen. Let's read that. Ephesians 5, verse number 29. Boy, I love to eat. Look at verse 28. Let's look at verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. I'm fed, I'm nourished, and I'm cherished. Just think about that. We were talking about loved a while ago, but I don't think you really got the picture when I was talking about being loved, because you don't really associate the word love with cherishing something. You associate the word love with banana split. But I'm talking about a cherishing love. I'm talking about, he said we're fed and we're cherished. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now, I might not have changed many diapers, but boy, I did this with my babies.
Amen.
You said, well, that's cherished.
Amen.
I've got in the car from Delaware and started heading towards North Carolina and got to Richmond. That ain't just a hop and a skip between Delaware and Richmond. That's a couple hours. And if the traffic's bad, that's a day's journey. But I've left Delaware and heading towards North Carolina going to see my mama. And got to Richmond and got off an exit and got back on the other side and went back to Delaware. You say, why? I want to see my babies. Now, if a man turn around from going to see his mama, something's on his mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something that's cherished. Something that means more than life itself.
Yeah. Right.
That's the way God thinks of you.
Amen.
He cherishes
Amen.
You. You won't be able to, if you know yourself, you won't be able to figure that one out either.
That's right.
So what are you talking about tonight, Brother Mike? I'm talking about who we are.
Yeah.
I'm talking about our identification. Nourished and cherished. Ain't it good to be fed and loved?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Two more. We're on number 30 here. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:13 says, we as the church are the well protected.
Amen.
Amen? We're the well protected. Can't nobody mess with you till God lets them do it.
Yeah.
Amen? You're the well protected. You're the armored. Amen? You're the well protected. And then Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 18. Number 31 in 1 hour and 13 minutes. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 13. Verse number 18. He said, praying always. We're the prayerful. If you're a part of the church, you're the prayerful.
Right.
So, Brother Mike, I've been slack in my prayer. Well, you've been letting somebody down then. Because as a part of the church, you're supposed to be the prayerful. That's 31 things, and I hope you took my little hint and wrote them down, because that's a New Testament education right there, those 31 things. You say, Brother Mike, you took a few minutes extra tonight. It's worth it, I promise you that. You begin to study these things and realize it's not that you're supposed to be these things. You are already these things.
That's right.
If you're saved.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And your life will change. Your life will change. Now, suppose we went through every book and every chapter of the Bible and picked those things out. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
There's more to the Christian life than just let's get together and sing Kumbaya and hold hands and love one another and lick each other on the face and slobber all over the place and say we love each other when we don't mean it.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things that we are. Amen. I feel like reading you the whole list again. We're the apostolic, we're the sent ones, we're the obedient, we're the called, we're the purposeful, we're the busy, we're the established, we're the fruitful, we're the gifted, we're the believers, we're the just, we're the righteous, we're the justified, we're the redeemed, we're the reconciled, we're the delivered, we're the yielded, we're the free. We are the eternal. I skipped that one. We are the blessed. We're the chosen. We're the holy. We're the blameless. We're the predestinated. We are the accepted. We are the forgiven. We are the sealed. We are the purchased. We are the enlightened. We are the church. We are the body. We are the assemblers. We are the quickened. We are the converted. We are the renewed. We are the loved. We're the raised. We're the saved. We're the workmanship. We're the workers. We are the unified. We're the grown-ups. We're the children of light. We're the awake. We're the understood. We're the understanding. We are the submitted. We are the nourished and the cherished. We are the well-protected. We are the prayers. Amen? That's a big shoe to fill right there.
Yeah.
Amen? And God is able to make you stand. Amen. Right. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your goodness tonight. Thank You for Your mercy. I thank You, dear God, for the attentive spirit, even though it was a little bit of a long sermon. But God, I thank You that there's no time limit on truth. And I pray, O God, that You'd cement these things in the hearts and minds of the people and do great things with People's Baptist Church. Thank You with the things that were resolved tonight in our business meeting. I pray You'd help and protect Brother John, dear God, as he goes off into this new calling, this new life, dear God, that he stepped into tonight. And I pray, O God, that You'd be very merciful to him. Be very merciful to myself. Be very merciful, dear God, to Brother Nathan, to Brother Curtis, dear God, to Brother Spike, the men, dear God, that are engaged in leading this church forward. God, I pray that You'd help us. I pray, O God, that You'd have mercy. Help my brother Sam, dear God. Watch over him and protect him. Thank You, dear God, for the truth that he preached in our service, dear God. It was a great service, a great meeting, dear God. And I thank You for it, dear God. I pray You'd protect him until next year we come back together again and do this all over again. I pray You'd help him. Use him, dear God. Give him direction. Bless his life. Bless his wife. Bless his children. Yep. Protect him, dear God. Give him money that he needs. Yep. Give him the love that he needs in order to spend that money correctly, dear God. Help him and give him wisdom. Prosper him, dear God, in his ministry and in his future, dear God. Help him. And Lord, not only help him with the things that he needs for his ministry, but give him some things that he wants too, dear God. I pray You do these things. I pray this for all the preachers, dear God, that are standing straight and standing strong today. God, help is my plea and my prayer. And I'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.